Evening, we're continuing very much directly with what we dealt with last week. Last week we were looking at the sugya of bishul achar bishul and the circumstances under which we say ein bishul achar bishul. We had two important machlokot there. The first was a machloket between the Rambam and various Rishonim against the Rashba and various other Rishonim. And so under what circumstances we say ein bishul achar bishul. That's meaning that does the food have to be fully cooked the first time round, or does it have to, is it sufficient if it was only cooked k'machal ben drusai? The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskened that it needs to be mevushal kol tzorkor, whereas the Rashba said, provided it was mevushal k'machal ben drusai, then there's no further bishul achar bishul. And even though the Shulchan Aruch paskened in accordance with the Rambam, we did see a Mishnah Brura that indicated in certain cases for diavad one could rely on the view of the Rashba. The second important machloket that we saw was a machloket between the Rambam and the Rosh, and again various Rishonim siding with each of those opinions, and that was whether or not the principle of ein bishul achar bishul was restricted only to davar yavesh, solids, or whether it applied also to davar lach. The Rambam and many, many Rishonim are of the opinion that it applies to everything, primarily because the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara that we saw don't indicate in any way that there should be a distinction between them, whereas the Rosh indicated, based on Rashi and other Rishonim, that there's a distinction that with Davar Yavesh we apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, but with Davar Lach there is such a thing as Bishul Achar Bishul. And we discussed that a little bit last week, what the Svara might be, that and we discussed the notion which is essentially in various forms is what many of the Achronim, all the Achronim I've seen who address it, say this in one form or another, which is basically the difference. We said something which is solid, once it's cooked, it retains its cooked state, whereas something which is a liquid, once it cools down, it loses its cooked state. We asked some kashas on that. We said, for example, if you've got a soup, you know, a fruit soup or something like that, or a chicken soup, that's if you've just got the water and the chicken, that's and you cook it and then it cools down, it doesn't go back to being water and chicken. It's a chicken soup. That's so we made a couple of suggestions there how to deal with that. We did say that it might be that once it's cooled down, it's no longer edible. But we said that wasn't always going to be the case. If you've got a fruit soup can be eaten cold. Even a vegetable soup, some vegetable soups could be eaten cold. So there might be a distinction between what people like to eat and what possibly could be eaten. But even there, so a vegetable soup or a chicken soup, you could eat cold chicken soup, it's edible, that's as opposed to raw chicken, which is not edible. But at the same time, people don't generally like to eat cold chicken soup. But we've still got the problem with the fruit soup. The fruit soup is, some people prefer to eat it cold. So it seems to me that maybe we're just making a klal that things in general, that's when a liquid cools down, it either becomes something that people won't eat, or it reverts to its original form. So if you look at just, you take a fruit juice, that's, and you, you know, pure fruit juice, you take orange juice or wine or something like that, you heat it, it'll change, and it cools down, it will revert to what it was. So even though there are some exceptions to that rule, we're not going to apply those exceptions. As we saw in the Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Dalet, we saw that the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rosh to make that distinction between Davar Lach and Davar Yavesh. However, we need to look ahead in the Shulchan Aruch to Se'if Tetvav. If we look at Simon Shin Yud Chet, Se'if Tetvav, we'll see a very important Ramah here. So you can open to Shin Yud Chet, Se'if Tetvav, and let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Davar Shinit Bashel Kol Tzorkor V'Hu Yavesh. Right, so you've got something fully cooked and dry. Piece of chicken that's been cooked, or a brisket, or whatever it is, piece of meat that's been cooked, taken out of the water and drained off. Shein bo marak, it's got no liquid or gravy with it. Mutar lahanicho keneged hamadura, you can put it in front of a stove or a fire. Afilu b'makom shayad soledet bo, even if it's going to get hot, even if this piece of meat will become piping hot, there's no problem there at all, because ein bishul achar bishul. The Rama says, Vafilu nitstanin kavar, even if it's cooled off totally, imhu roteach, that's afilu b'davar sheish bo marak mutar. If it's actually, if it's something which is hot now, then even if it's got liquid in it, even if it's a soup or something like that, a gravy, it's going to be permitted, because that's it hasn't lost its status of being mevushal. Okay, a liquid only loses its status of being cooked once it cools down. This hasn't cooled down, it's still roteach, so therefore you can put it keneged hamadura, where in a place where it's going to stay very hot. V'yesh makilin, now there are those who are lenient, lomar, d'chol she'ein notno al gabei ha'esh ha'kiram mamash, rak samuchlo, so long as you don't actually put it onto the fire itself, but you're only placing it close by, afilu nitztanei mutar, even if it's cooled off, even if it's a liquid which has cooled off, it's going to be permissible to heat it up again. You can't heat it up on the stovetop. That's for another reason. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkatan Tzadik Chet, he says to put it on the stovetop, that would be Asur Mid Rabbanan, Mipnei Shenirek Mavashel, because you put it on the stovetop, it looks like you're doing an act of Bishul, even though you're not. That's V'gam Da'ati Lachtop B'Kechalim, and also we're worried that you might come and stoke the coals somewhat. As long as you only put it close by, so it's not, if you like, a miser of Bishul, it doesn't look like you're actually doing an act of Bishul, even though this soup is going to warm up, there's not a problem at all. So that's the view of the Rambam, as opposed to the Rosh, which he's referenced that view. And the Rama says, very importantly, V'nagu lahakel bazeh, the minhag is to be maker with this, im lo nitztanein legamre, if it hasn't totally cooled off. All right, so it doesn't have to be yad soledet any longer, it can have cooled down below yad soledet, but provided it's not stone cold, and we're going to define what we mean by cold in a moment, but provided it's not nitztanein, then we can reheat it. So that's a very important leniency of the Rama, okay, which the Mechaber doesn't hold with. The Mechaber has said that yesh bishul achar bishul with davar lach, which is something which is a liquid, and once it's no longer yad soledet bo, then it's regarded as being cooled off, and it's lost its status of bishul, and there's no way you can heat it up again. Whereas the Rama is arguing, and the Rama is saying that the minhag is actually to be lenient, provided that it's not totally cold. Now, there are two questions so that we need to address it. The first is really a question of whether or not the Rama is being meikel or machmer here. What do I mean by that? In terms of, are we saying that the Rama is essentially following the accepting the position of the Mechaber, that yesh bishul achar bishul with davar lach, but he's being meikel and saying that in some cases there isn't. Provided it hasn't cooled down totally, then there isn't bishul achar bishul. But essentially there is bishul achar bishul with davar lach. Or is he being strict and saying, look, essentially I follow the view of the Rambam, that there's no bishul achar bishul with davar lach, but I'm going to introduce a certain stringency, and that's to say that if it's cooled down totally, so then we're going to be strict. So let's see which is the preferred way of understanding it. Let's start off by looking at an Igrot Moshe. That's in Orachaim Chelek Dalad, Siman Ayin Dalad. This is a very long Siman with lots of small ha'arot. This was in response to many, many questions asked of him by Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt. Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt of Memphis was the author of the River Vot Ephraim, There's a Talmud's Mufak of Rav Moshe. Lots of tshuvot in the Rav Moshe addressed to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. Mao tam harama b'davashi ish bo marak shekatav nagu lahakelim non itztani legamrei. Mao shior zeh. So, addressing two questions, what's the reason of the Rama of saying that the minhag is to be mekel if it hasn't cooled down totally? And also, how are we going to define cooling down totally? Teshuva, tam harama mishum shesover ledina kaharambam varashba da'ein bishul achar bishul gambalach. So, essentially, the Rama holds like the Rambam, that ein bishul achar bishul even with davar lach. In which case, what the Rama is doing is actually introducing a chumra. That's about machmirin kishin it's standing the gunry. If it's totally cooled off, so then we're going to be machmir. But essentially, he holds that ein bishul achar bishul with davar lach. If it's totally cooled off, so then it's. It really, in all senses, it seems to have lost its status of being cooked. So then we'll be strict. Now, what's the definition of totally cooled off? There's a little bit of an unscientific definition. Even if we say that, Yad Soledet, that's not an entirely scientific definition. This is even less scientific. He's saying that something which is, what's the definition of Nitztanein Legamrei? Nitztanein Legamrei means nobody would call it hot. Right? In terms of, you think about a bowl of soup, a bowl of chicken soup. Right? So I don't know anything about temperatures, but, you want a bowl of chicken soup, it needs to be, at least when it's served, you want it piping hot. If it's cooled down a bit, that's fine. If it comes to the table and it's mummish lukewarm, and I don't know if you were in a restaurant, you'd send it back. Okay, so that wouldn't that would be called an itstanin legamrei. That's why, because once it's an itstanin legamrei, it's no longer regarded as cooked. It's got you want to eat hot soup. This was what we were saying, was the difference between davar lach and davar yavesh, that something which is lach, that's once it's cooled off, so then people are not going to want to eat it. It's lost its status, even if it's physically, you're not going to make yourself ill by eating it, but nevertheless, it's no longer got the status of an edible food because people won't eat it. So, of course, with different types of foods, there would be different, different dinim, in the sense that a bowl of soup, you don't want it sort of tepid, right? Whereas a cup of tea, if it's cooled down, quite a lot, a person might still drink it. That's a cup of coffee. No,
it was cold.
Okay, that's if you had a bowl of soup and it was cold with chicken soup, would you have drunk it? Maybe not. So that's it's an unscientific definition, but that is that's what he's saying is the definition of nitztanein legamrei. It doesn't mean to say that it's as cold as room temperature. It means that it's cold, so that it's nobody would regard it as being hot any longer. But if it's a person would still drink it as hot, even though it's not Yad Soledet, so the Rama is going to be Mekel. Now, Rav Moshe has a yes.
Right. Because
he's machmir for the Yeshbishul Achar Bishulu, because it looks like it's cooking. No, it doesn't look like it's cooking. He's machmir to the Shita of the Rosh, that Yeshbishul Achar Bishul. In the sense that what he's saying is that why does the Rosh say Yeshbishul Achar Bishul? Because once something's cooled down, it's lost its status of being cooked. Now, the Rosh says once it's no longer Yad Soledet, it's lost its status of being cooked. What the Rama is saying, essentially, I don't hold with the Rosh at all. Essentially, I hold like the Rambam. But, we're dealing here with an Isidore writer, so I'm going to give space to the position of the Rosh. You know, I can, you know, we can incorporate it, but we don't need to be as radical as the Roche. Because if the consideration is that it's, you know, our question is at what stage does it lose its status of being cooked? So if it's still edible, that's when it loses its status, or it still retains its status of being cooked. It's only when it's no longer edible or no longer regarded as being edible. In terms of, you know, cold chicken soup is edible, but a person wouldn't regard it as being edible. Nobody's going to choose to eat cold chicken soup. That's, if I go home for dinner, you know, and the rest of the family's finished eating, and the soup's, the soup was served, a little while ago, it's there in the bowl on the table. So if it's, there's a certain stage at which I'll say, you know, don't bother heating it up again for me. There's a certain stage where I say, yeah, please heat it up, or, you know, I won't bother with the soup. So if it's that I'll, you know, don't bother heating it up again for me, then it's still regarded as being hot. Once it's reached that stage where I won't eat it because it's cooled down, so then it's regarded as cold. There's an interesting follow-up observation here in Rav Moshe. Haimutar larot mayim kli rishon kli shen not ruboti pe mayim shenit bashlu v'nitztananu. Now you've got a question. You made a cup of tea. That's or you've had a bowl of soup or something like that, and you've had the cup of tea. And now you want to have another cup of tea. So you've got a few drops of liquid at the bottom of the cup. Are you allowed to pour more hot water from the Kli Rishon into that cup, or are you going to need to dry out the cup again? Remember, if the water's in the cup has been cooked because that was from the first cup of tea. It's cooled down. It's now cooled down totally. It's not hot at all. Yeah. That's so. According to the Rambam, there's not a problem of Bishul Achar Bishul, but according to the Rosh, and even according to the Rama, there should be a problem of Bishul Achar Bishul, because even the Rama says if it's cooled down totally. So then it's if it's cooled down totally, then it's got to do with Bishul Achar Bishul. So is it going to make a difference if it's just a couple of drops? Tshuva yesh, ina yesh chluk bein tipot maim shelo mitosef bazeh shum hana'a, af lo bekamut. That's, so you're saying, you know, if you're just looking at a couple of drops of water, then they are negligible. You know, so it's not even, you know, really providing you with more tea. We're not talking about you've got, you know, a third of a cup at the bottom, of tea at the bottom, which if you're running out of hot water, so then, you know, that's good. I've got, you know, I only need 2/3 of a cup now of hot water. Even if this was totally cold water straight from the tap, in actual fact, a couple of drops wouldn't be a problem according to a number of Rishonim. Some Rishonim will have in due course, you know, share about this subject, Bezrat Hashem. But psik reisha means where you're talking about something which is inevitable, and the inevitable consequence of doing something. So there's a question under what circumstances is that permitted and what circumstances is it not permitted. In all cases, psik reisha, that wasn't your intention. So in this case, it's not your intention to heat up the drops of water in the bottom of the cup. Your intention is to fill the cup with water. So you just can't be bothered to wash the cup out and dry it. You just want to put in more tea. And it's psik reisha de lo nichale. So you're not really getting any, you're not getting any tangible, recognizable benefit from it. So according to a number of Rishonim, it would be permitted. But lemaisa, that's in the case of psik reisha with an issa d'oraita, we would be strict. Shalachain bahayumaim rotchin shenitstanu. However, if this was hot water which has cooled down, sheme etzem hadin ein bishul achar bishul, that min hadin, there's not really any, you know, essentially we follow the position of the Rambam, there's no bishul achar bishul, dechein sovrim rov haposkim, vaday lo shayach lahachmir batipot. So you really don't need to be machmir with just a couple of drops. However, if there's a lot of water, cooked water which has cooled down, you can't pour on a lot of hot water, but which would bring the cold water up to a very high temperature, because there it would be an inevitable consequence that you're benefiting from. But the point that Rav Moshe is making is that we can incorporate the view of the Rambam here. And essentially, he seems to be following his principle from the previous statement, in the sense that you're not really achieving anything by heating it up, or this water is, you know, you don't care whether it's heated up or not heated up, so then it's not going to be a problem. He hasn't defined for us what a few drops are. That's, I assume, anything that you wouldn't regard it as consequential. It's not helping you in any way, that's helping you save on water. That's, you know, so then it's not consequential. So that's the position of Rav Moshe, that the Rama's position is essentially a chumrah on the Rambam. Essentially, we paskin like the Rambam, that ein bishul achar bishul with liquids. But we'll incorporate a modified view of the Rosh and be a little bit strict if it's cooled down totally, and therefore it's totally lost its cooked character. Let's just look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. There's a Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who possibly is saying something a little bit differently. So he's making the same point as the as Rav Moshe, that it's still edible somewhat. If it's totally cooled down, then we're going to follow the first view, the view of the Rosh. In all cases, it would be also to heat it up. Now, I think from the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch HaRav, even though Rav Moshe took this and used it as a proof for his position, I think the exact Lashon of Shulchan Aruch HaRav perhaps suggests that in actual fact he could be holding like the Rosh. The Nagu Lahakel im lo nitzan in the Gamre. The point is that because it's still edible, therefore we're not going to regard it as being cooled down totally. So I think he's adopting the position of the Rosh. Essentially, he's saying that the Rama is holding that essentially we're concerned that if something loses its status of being mavushal and reverts to its former state, so then it's then yesh bishul achar bishul, and the only question is at what stage does it revert to its former state. The Rosh indicates that it reverts to its former state when it's no longer got a halachic status of mavushal, meaning it's not yad solet et bol, whereas the Rama is saying that in actual fact, no, so long as it's edible, so long as it can be regarded as hot food, so then it's retained its cooked status. It's only when it's no longer regarded as hot food, then we'll say it's reverted to its original state. This is a bit like going back to the machloket we discussed last week with regard to the Rambam and the Rashba, in terms of whether it needed to be Mavushal Kol Tzorko or just Kamachal Ben Drusai, whether we're looking at a halachic definition or a real definition. We could say that the Rosh here is looking at a halachic definition. It turns off once it's no longer yad soledet, so then it's no longer regarded as cooked. It's lost its cooked status. He's giving us a halachic definition, whereas the Rama is giving us a practical definition. In practical terms, do people regard it as being hot food, or do they regard it as being cold food? Soup, you want to eat hot. So if it's not regarded as hot, If it's still regarded as hot, even if it's not yad soletet, then fine, it's cooked. Whereas the Rosh is saying, no, I'm interested in a halachic definition. Our halachic definitions of hot and cold are yad soletet. We know that sort of, you know, throughout our halacha, you know, in terms of basa v'chalav and tarovot, you know, you'll come to all that, that, you know, if it's yad soletet, it's hot. If it's not yad soletet, it's regarded as cold. It might be, you know, you call 45 degrees yad soletet, might be 43 degrees, might still feel hot. Don't worry, it's cold. That's, whereas in this context, we're looking at this a little bit differently.
Yes. We learned the Nisa Vaheter, that if you take, what if you take Iruim Eklirishin into a lot of water.
Right.
We are not regarding this as problematic because even though the water cooks Kedeklipa, it's immediately butter.
Yeah.
So now, but with regards to Shabbos, I understand from the Igros Moshe that we are not caring about bitul, we care about the shear of water could potentially be cooked. So if I have a case where I have a lot of water, cold water, and I want to put a little bit of hot water in from a clear region, am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, we'll come to that in due course. We'll have the whole din of ambati and such things. We'll come to this in a couple of weeks' time. But essentially pouring a small amount of hot water into a lot of cold water is not going to be a problem. Gets to the whole question of tatagvar, ilagvar, etc.
Okay,
and the quantities in which you pour it in. So we'll come to all that. Now, the next very important question that we have to address in this context is how are we going to define lach and yavesh? And that's going to come up in two contexts, both in terms of consistency and in terms of quantity. Very often, I get the shaila, somebody wants to know that, is there cholent lach or yavesh? You know, can they put the cholent on the blech Shabbat morning, or can't they? That's, or perhaps some sort of dessert. They've got some sort of apple crumble with, there's liquid at the bottom of it, and they want to put it on the blech to warm up on Shabbat day. So that's the question. How are we defining lach and yavesh? Does something have to be totally lach or not? Let's start off by looking actually back at a Mishnah Brura, two Mishnah Bruras. We look back at Sifkatan Lamed Bet. Okay, Sifkatan Lamed Bet. Says for who yavesh? Okay, so we're talking about something which is nitbashal kvar and it's yavesh. Sifkatan lamed bet in the Mishnah Brura.
Same simon.
So the Mishnah Brura says, what's the definition of yavesh? Ritzon olamah shehe riku hamarak mimenu. Right, the liquid has been poured off it. Now it's a little bit unclear exactly what that means. Does it mean that just there's no liquid there, there's no pourable liquid any longer, but there can still be some moisture? Or does it mean that it has to be totally dry? So there's a tshuva of Rav Vosne in Shevet Halevi, Chelet Yudalef Simon Samach Zayin, where he says it doesn't have to be absolutely bone dry. And I would also bring a proof from Sifkatan Lamed Tet for that position. We looked at this. We looked at this last week with regard to the making of the tea. That's where the Mishnah Brura's recommendation was that if you look sort of round about in the middle of the parish, if you find where there's a Nun Tet in the middle of the Nishnabrura there for reference to the Sharat Zion, where he says, V'yapek b'etai ruet ha'tei heitev, v'toch ha'rotchim l'mala l'mata, l'mata l'mala, v'achar kach yariket ha'essence l'kli acher, k'dei she'yisharu alei ha'tei yaveshim. Now, if you're making tea, sort of cooking the tea, making tea essence on Friday, you've got your tea leaves and you pour boiling water on them and mix them around, and then you pour off the liquid. That's unless you put them somewhere particularly to dry out, they're still going to be a little bit moist, I would say. So it seems that Mishnah is not worried about a little bit of a few drops of moisture there. It doesn't need to be bone brittle dry. So bear that in mind for the position of the Mishnah Brewer. Let's look now at Tshuva of Rav Avadya in Yechaveh Da'at. Rav Avadya has a very important position.
Which Mishnah Brewer was that? I looked in Lamed
Tet. No, it was Sifkatan Lamed Tet, but we started in the middle where it referenced Sifkatan Nun Tet in the Shaar HaTzion. So about halfway through Sifkatan Lamed Tet.
Literally last week.
Yeah. Got Sifkatan Lamed Tet. So in the middle, there's a Nun Tet there, just referencing the Shaar HaTzion. Right. So then just under that, he says that V'achar kach yariket ha'essence l'kliyakeh v'dei she'yisharu alei ha'tei yaveshim. So I'm not convinced that, that they are totally yavesh. Right.
In that simon that you just read out, means that it's solid and without any marak, which presumably in this case means gravy.
Yeah, but the question is,
which means something which does have is not necessarily.
No. So the question is, in terms of what do we mean? There can be a distinction between there not being any gravy there and the thing still being a bit moist.
Yeah.
You take a, we spoke last week about a boiled chicken. Yeah. Right? Take my chicken out. I don't think I need to dry it off with a towel. Or, I've taken it out, I've put it on a plate, it sat in the fridge overnight. It's like kind of a bit moist still, but it's not got marak there. So, that's the question. So I'm suggesting the Mishnah Berurah wouldn't be too worried about that. Let's look at Rav Avadya. V'nedat Rashi v'harosh, Rabbeinu Yossi, summing up the sugya a little bit, Hamuva baharan, shedav getavshil yafesh, gul chatichot basor, chatichot dagim chayot seibahen, ein bo mishum bishul b'shabat, me'achach shekvan bashel b'er shabat. Aval tavshil lach, but if it's liquid, gon marak shenitz tanein, so you can't heat it up. That's the Rosh. So we're strict. Right, so we know all that. Now, very importantly, he's referring us to a Beit Yosef in Simration and Gimel, B'Shem Rabbeinu Yona V'Rabbeinu Yerucham, Shelo Nikra Tavshil Lach, Inyan's there, Elak Sherubo Rotev Umarak. Right, it's only if it's mostly liquid. If it's mostly liquid, then it's regarded as davar lach. Aval tavshil shel basar or dagim, the yishbot ketzat rotev of a shuman. You've got meat or fish or whatever it is, and there's ketzat rotev of shuman. That's there's gravy, right? That's me'achash erubo yavesh, seeing as it's largely yavesh. Ein bo mishumach bishulach habishul. There's no problem with bishulach habishul. We'll ignore the miut, which is a liquid. He says this makes logical sense. There's no such thing as something which is bone dry. I mean, it's not necessarily true. You can, you know, you leave it out to dry enough, you know, it'll dry up. But essentially, you know, these things tend to be a bit moist. The ink calls in. It's regarded as something which is yafish. Kol sherubo yafesh, as long as it's mainly solid, butar lechamer mo b'shabbat gam b'ofen shemagi aliyat soledet bo. Avtal tavshin lach kugol marak, af sheyish bo chatichot basar, mikevan sherubo tzalul v'lach, asol lechamer mo b'shabbat sheyish bo din bishul achar bishul. This is very important. This is how Rav Avadya is paskening lemaisa. There's a tshuva of Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the current Rishon Letzion, in his Sheilot and Shuvot, Chelek Bet, where he endorses this, he agrees with it. This is a very radical position in terms of, whereas the Mishnah Brura seemed to indicate, Shevet HaLevi, you know, it's a little bit of moisture on the thing, that's not going to define it as being Davar Lach. And partly, we might say, like Rav Moshe said in his Shuvah, you know, a few drops, you know, fine, they heat up, you know, nishkafelach, you don't really care about them. That's, you know, I've got a chicken I couldn't, you know, which had been in gravy, you know, and now, you know, I haven't managed to dry off all the gravy. I'm not interested in that bit of gravy being hot. I don't care if the bit of gravy's there or not. But, you know, you've got a cholent, right? I think most cholents, oh, some people have a very soupy cholent. Mm. Maybe next week everybody can bring in that. We'll have a cholent competition. Cholent competition. That's, but, you know, most cholents, I think, are essentially solid with, you know, some liquid. That's, I mean, I have seen some cholents which are really, you know, essentially a soup. But, you know, if you take a Rakusen's tinned cholent, right, that's which, you know, essentially you can use as cement or polyfiller or something like that. You know, it's you know, it's pretty solid. That's it. It's a bit, you know, it's a bit liquidy, but essentially, now according to Rav Avadya, you'd be able to heat it up. I'm not 100% sure about. You know, if you've got a, even according to Rav Avadya, let's say you've got chicken in a sauce. That, you know, I'm not sure at what stage Rav Avadya would say that this is two separate tavshinim, that is, you combined in some way, or whether it's one tavshin. I understand I've got a cholent, right? And my cholent has potatoes and meat and carrots and beans and barley and eggs,
sounds good.
Even.
Kidney beans, sounds good.
That sounds good, right? Okay. And there's liquid as well, but it's, you know, 75% solid and 25% or 20% liquid. I understand that would be a tavshil sherubo yafesh. I don't know if I've got chicken in a sauce, where the two things are very discrete things in terms of I've got my pan and there's the sauce at the bottom and the pieces of chicken, you know, sitting in it. So in Hakinami, I sort of look at the thing and, you know, the volume of the chicken is twice the volume of the sauce. So, oh, you know, it's rubo yavesh. I don't know. Essentially there, it's I've got chicken and a sauce and I put them in the one pan instead of putting them in two separate pans. So I don't know what Rav Avadya would say, you know, in that case, whether that would be regarded as rubo yavesh, or essentially, you know, you've got yavesh and lach, you know, put into the same pan there. I think logically one could argue that's not rubo yavesh. That's some yavesh, and there's lach there with it as well.
I think there's a fish, I don't know if I remember, there's a fish that you make chayme.
So they're sorry?
Chayme. And the chayme, the most important thing there is the sauce. The fish is this way, you're eating the fish, and in this case, I think so. Said it's better not to put it on the oven or in the platter.
That's, so it'll depend in part on how we're learning on how we're learning the sugya. I think the way Rav Avadya is learning it is simply we're looking at what's our main ingredient, and the other ingredient is going to be butter. I think that's essentially how he's learning it. That we've got here, we've got the har tzvi, which also comes to a conclusion that if there's a certain amount of liquid, that it's still permissible, it's still got a din of dava yavesh. But essentially what he's saying is it's a din of ikar and tafel. And what is the tafel is there's no isra attaches itself to it because you're not really interested in that. Now, if that's the case, right, if that's the case, then there would be a big difference between something where you want the source and a case where you don't want the source. In terms of that, you've got you've got some chicken that's where you know there's some moisture there. You know, it had been in the pot, or it had been in the gravy Friday night, and it's cooled down. You want to heat it up again Shabbat morning, and the gravy gives it a taste, but you're not really interested in it being in gravy. It's just you can't, you know, it's a slightly thickish gravy. You can't take paper towels and sort of, you know, spend, half of Shabbat morning drying up your chicken. All right, so it's tafel. But in a case where it's clearly not tafel, in terms of the two things are ikar, that's just one might be a greater proportion, it would be much harder to say that. But I think the way Rav Avadya is learning it, we're simply looking at the lesser ingredient is butter in the greater ingredient.
So one second, if I've got legumes in a pot of water, I just want the peas and the beans and whatever else, but yeah, I'm cooking the water and the water might be the majority, but I'm just going to scoop out the peas. So can I put that back on the stove or not?
No. If the water is the majority, then everybody's going to say it's got a din of dav alach.
But it's not the ikka.
According to Rav Avadya, we're looking at...
I'm not using it to make tea.
I understand. But according to Rav, certainly, I mean... The straightforward reading of the Shulchan Aruch is poshut that it's going to be a problem. It's got marak there. That Rav Avadya is saying is that if it's miut marak, so then it's still going to be all right. That according to the Har Tzvi, then you know it's only if the liquid is tafel. But in that case, you can't say the liquid is tafel if it's the majority. That and also that you know you're using the liquid to heat it up. So that, you know, that would definitely be problematic. James?
My wife says that when you've got liquid and it's solidified, it's, you know, gone gelatinous or whatever, let's say you've got, you know, you cook the chicken in water and then it turns to hard or whatever it is, then it's got a din of yavish.
That is essentially right. We'll discuss in a couple of weeks' time changing states. And there's a whole question. One of the questions is, say, with regard to making Nescafe. Right, I mean, the possibly discussed the sugar. You know, that's has sugar got it in a hot drink? Has that got the din of davar yavesh or davar lach? So, on the face of it, it's poshut that it's davar yavesh. Sugar is dry, but the point is, once you add the water to it, it becomes lach. It dissolves. That's so. To some degree, you're going to have that. You know, similar question with the. With the gravy, but essentially we say if it's solidified, it's got the din of being davar yavesh. Now hold your horses a little bit because we're going to get onto the question of ketchup, and that'll the two all relate together. Oh,
two things. One, I suppose this is similar to a lot of questions, so it's a bit generic, but in this one it's like obvious, I suppose, or maybe not. But anyway, can someone who doesn't hold by this kula eat from someone who cooked it in such a manner?
Okay, so that's a very big question that relates somewhat to Sif Aleph and Sif Bet, which is Maaseh Shabbat. That's the question: the person does Malacha on Shabbat. In part it depends on a number of considerations. That's to what degree do you hold that something is osa? That's or you know to and therefore you hold that really what they're doing is wrong, or you know, do you hold that, you know, essentially what they're doing is mutter, that but you know, you're not no Hager like this. I think essentially, certainly with this particular case, there's, you know, multiple grounds to be, you know, to be make all. First of all, it's a mainstream opinion, very mainstream opinion. Second of all, you can factor in the consideration of, you know, according to the Rambam, Ein bishulach ha-bishul with davar lach, in any event. So even though we don't paskin that way, you know, it's a snifla hakel. You can also factor in the consideration of omer mutar. So that person, you know, is clearly, you know, for them it might well be mutar. Certainly, you know, worse is going to be a shogeg case. You know, so even if it's not mutar, at worst it would be a case of shogeg. So, you know, you know, I think there are good grounds to be lenient in that, regard.
The other thing was, I don't suppose, and again, before everyone shouts me down, I don't know halachos of borer. I don't know what borer is, so I'm not going to pretend I do.
You will do one day.
But,
you
know, but
we won't know. You get smicha without knowing that.
What?
Don't
eat
my house. I wouldn't recommend it. my wife gets very worried about any liquid, even though I tell her this famous colour, but we both wonder then, can she pour, or can I even, doesn't have to be her, pour out the liquid that is there on Shabbat?
So what you really want to take out, you want to take the ochel from the solid, so you want to take the, you know, if you've got your peas and beans, whatever.
Oh, so you, take your peas. You remove the gravy.
You need to take the chicken out of the gravy.
You can take the chicken away.
Yeah, take the chicken out of the gravy.
Okay.
Rather than pour the gravy away. Like that. Okay. That's now. There are a number of, Rabbi Matya is, you know, can't be dismissed, you know, in any sense as being other than the mainstream. Having said that, not everybody agrees with this position. A slight spanner in the works is that if you look at Rabbi Yerucham inside, it's not at all poshut. That's what Rabbi Yerucham says. That's the Beit Yosef quotes. If you look at the Beit Yosef, that's what Rabbi Yerucham says. That's the Beit Yosef says, Shaluk ratash yulach, elak sherubo rotev umarak. That's, but in Rabbi Yerucham, according to many versions of Rabbi Yerucham, it doesn't have the word rubo. That's, it's not called, that's lach, ela rotev umarak. That's rotev umarak means that, you know, perhaps as opposed to something a bit sticky or something like that. Rotev umarak is davar lach. So that's a problem. Of course, if you accept that, that seems to be the cornerstone of what Rav Avadya is saying. If that's the cornerstone of what Rav Avadya is saying, then you're a little bit of a pickle. That's without the juices. That's Rav Yitzchak Yosef, in his tshuva, he gives three other grounds for leniency in addition to Rabbeinu Yerucham. So he's not relying solely on Rabbeinu Yerucham. In any event, Rav Moshe does not accept that leniency. If you look in the Igrot Moshe, he asks, "Ochel sherubo yaveshu miyutor lach." Haim yesh lahachmish yesh bo bishul achab bishul in itzani legamrei. Hinei lo mevan chiluk bein rov lach lemiut lach. He says, what difference should it make whether it's mostly liquid or partially liquid? Me'achad miyut halach yitbashel kishut tzonet. At the end of the day, I've got my cholent, which is 80% solid and 20% liquid. The 20% liquid is going to get cooked. Asher alkein hu achreak lafarish kumashmoza prima gadim. So the prima gadim goes back to, we saw this, you know, last week. That's this difference between whether it's improved or ruined when it gets heated up. So if it's something which is, so the Rama said, or the pseudo Rama said last week, that it might be that the whole issa with davar lach of bishul achab bishul only applies to something which is mitztamek v'yafelo, something which improves. But if it doesn't improve, then it wouldn't be a problem. Shelachen yesh le'esor kevan derabim plige el arama. The problem is that many poskim hold not like that Rama and say that in all cases there's a problem. But if we say that it only applies to something which is improved when it heats up, so if you've only got a small amount of liquid, if I've got, you know, chicken soups, I've got some vegetables floating around, a few bits of chicken, right? But essentially it's mainly soup, and when I heat it up, the liquid gets improved. If I've got something which is 95% solid and a little bit of liquid, in actual fact, that liquid gets burnt and evaporated as I heat it up. So it's mitzvah gvuralo. The problem will be that if I've got...
If the liquid burns up, you don't want the liquid anyway.
Correct. And so it's mitzvah gvuralo, and therefore it might not be a problem.
Yeah, but you want the solid there.
Understand. What we're saying is, according to what we said, that if I've got something, it's 95% solid, there's 5% liquid, the liquid will, by definition, it'll dry up, that liquid. And therefore it gets ruined. And so therefore it's mitzvah gvuralo, and there shouldn't be a problem. However, problem number one, he says, is that most poskim reject that and say, even in the case of mitzvah gvuralo, there's still a problem of bishul achar bishul. And second of all, I would add that that might be true if it's 5% liquid. Maybe if it's 7% liquid. If it's 25% liquid, that's probably not true. It's not, you know, it's not going to, certainly if it's 45% liquid, the liquid's not going to get all burnt up just because there's 55%, you know, solid. So that's his first observation. So anyhow, the Maisa, we won't go through all of that, Rav Moshe. Basically, he says that Shat Hadchak HaGadol U'Yayishle Hatit. That's his final line. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it's not Shat Hadchak Gadol, I mean, even if it's Shat Hadchak Gadol, it's a new lie. Maybe. I don't know how that helps you on Shabbos morning, when, you know, you've got 50 guests coming from your son's ufruf, that's, you know, for lunch, that's, and you've got this, you know, the cholons has all, you know, the gas went out over the hot plate, failed overnight, you want to heat it up, and it's 25% liquid and 75% solid, that lichora is, you know, shat hadachak gadol. So, you know, that's, I know when they come and ask me that shayla, I can say, oh, Rav Moshe says, Ula yesh lahatir. That'll make them feel very good. That's maybe. That's but you know, he's clearly not terribly happy about it. Sorry, was there a question?
Yes, there was. Matt, two questions. One, when you have a little bit of the stomach virado, does that mean that the liquid acid, liquid part of it gets worse? Are you talking about the whole
thing? No, the liquid parts, lichora.
You're not talking about the whole dish?
No, because the rest of it won't get worse. I mean, the rest doesn't matter about the rest. The rest is dava yavish, so I don't care about, you know, the dava yavish, I can heat up. There's no question.
Ah, so you don't understand. Oh, because according to the Rama, who says it has to get with something with stomach, this wouldn't be an issue.
Correct.
Secondly, I just don't Ikar Tafel, not to be that you...
Sorry.
The Ikar Tafel that you mentioned in Har Tzvi.
Yeah.
Tafel batal ikar. I understand that to mean that it's not that you don't want the tafel, it's that you might want the tafel. It's just batal to the ikar, the gravy.
No, because the case that he brings a raya from is the you know, the classic case of you've got a house is on fire and you've got somebody ill in there and you have to carry them out on a stretcher, right, to save them, right? Now, you don't want the stretcher at all. You're not interested in having the stretcher. You're interested in getting the person out. So the stretcher is tafel to the person. I just can't get the person out without a stretcher, right, because there's no way I can carry him. I'm not interested in the stretcher whatsoever. So it's not that it's that I'm interested in both, but one's batel to the other. It's, you know, ikar and tafel is that what's tafel, I'm just not interested in.
No, you still
it's,
want it.
It's, no, it's...
You need the gravy to make the chicken
taste. No, that's the point. Well, if that's the case, then it wouldn't be. Then it wouldn't be, that's exactly the point, then it wouldn't be, you'd have to reject what the Har Tzvi says. Because that's exactly the point. His point will only work in a case where, that's why I don't think it'll work, in a case where you've got, you know, something which is, you know, 70% solid and 30% liquid, because then it's much harder to say that the liquid is Tafel. That's his case, because his thing is, all the whole, his whole premise is that you've got an Ikar and a Tafel. Tafel, and his premise is it's like the Chai Bamita, right? The live person on a stretcher. The stretcher, you're not interested in the stretcher at all. The stretcher is only a way to get the person out the house. So in a case where I've got my chicken, okay, and it's, I can't dry it off with paper towels, and there's a bit of liquid around, you know, I'm not so worried. Yeah, fine, it's Tafel. But that would be a big nafkamina between Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rav Ovadia. So in any event, Rav Moshe's not terribly happy about it, and I think the general minhag, certainly amongst Ashkenazim, is to be strict like Rav Moshe, that with the caveat that, you know, the thing doesn't need to be bone dry. It doesn't need to be bone dry. Now, the next question is, in terms of consistency, what's davar yavesh and what's davar lach? And I think we pointed out last week that we were making a chiluk between, you know, I deliberately haven't translated yavesh and lach as being dry and wet. I've translated them as being liquids and solids, and that's clearly what we're talking about here. But you'll have certain things which are, you know, somewhere in between a liquid and a you know, the solid. I want to know what its you know, what its din is. So a point discussed by the poskim is ketchup, tomato ketchup. Is that liquid or is it solid? So if you look at Rav Moshe, umash nistapakta b'ketchup, shema hu ochel machmashu av, af sheniroch al yidei shvicha. Now maybe it's got the din of ochel, which is ochel, of course, is a term we haven't used yet. That's because it's thick, even though it can be poured. Mistabe shelo talu yizeh b'din ochel o mashke legabe tuma. So the shaila here, coming from Ralph Greenblatt, that was into, let's look elsewhere for where we've got these models of Lach and Yavesh, and he's brought up from Tuma and Tara, we look at Ochel and Mashke. So, you know, Mashkin can be Mekabel Tuma, that's in certain ways, and Ochlin can be Mekabel Tuma in certain ways. So, what's the definition of Ochel? So, Ochel, something which is thick, has got a din of Ochel, as opposed to Mashke. But Rav Moshe points out, no, we're not using the terms Ochel and Mashke here, we're using Yavesh and Lach. Ela b'imhu davar hazav, or davar shu chaticha omedet umudubeket yachad af belo kli hamami danu medabkan shalachen yeishlach shivokalach. So Rav Moshe says, what's the definition of something which is yavesh? Yavesh is something which retains its form when it's not in a kli, as opposed to something which is lach, which sort of spreads out when you take it out of a kli. So, you know, you'll have, for example, I understand that a piece of chicken is definitely yavesh, and I understand that chicken soup is lach. Now, what about mashed potato? That's, or creamed butternut, okay? I've got creamed butternut, okay? Davar yavesh or davar lach, right? It'll depend on its consistency. You know, at what point does your mashed potato shift from being davar yavesh to being davar lach? If, when you put it on the plate, it sort of collapses, right? So then it's davar lach. If it retains its form, then it's davar yavesh. That's what Rav Moshe says. If we look in a footnote in Shemirat Shabbat Hilchata, there's what I think is quite a big chiddush of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. And we'll see why it's a big chiddush momentarily. Look in the second line there. Shamati me'akrash shazor b'chatzal. To mikom akom yishla'kel. With the Heilige ketchup, there is room to be mekel. and to treat it as being davar yavish. Mikevan sheba ochel kazesh ein bo nafkamina bein cham lekar. Saying because, oh, it makes no difference. Nobody wants, you know, oh, the ketchup. You know, you're in a restaurant, they bring you the ketchup. Oh, the ketchup's cold. Send it back to the kitchen. Bring me warm ketchup. You know, that's, nobody's ever, I've never met anybody who's mukfit. Or, you know, maybe sort of, you know, mega superstars, you know, pop stars are mukfits on such things. But Stam Inche, right, not worrying. You know, ketchup is ketchup. It makes no difference if you're hot or cold. That's consideration number one. Consideration number two, it's not absolutely a liquid. It's sort of like a thick substance. Maybe it's just like cooked tomatoes. Nobody suggested that cooked tomato is davalach. Cooked tomato, let's imagine that it's got its all its juices in it. Cooked tomato is davar yavish. It's a tomato. It's not
about passata.
That's what's he talking about?
Would he talk about the same thing about passata?
I don't know, maybe. Lachen kiltfeh. So in any event, let's just think about his first observation. His first observation is a very bombachidush. Why? Because what he's saying is, let's go back to thinking about what the difference is between davar yavesh and davar lach. We have two ways of understanding the distinction. We said it might be that with davar lach, it loses, when it cools off, it loses its status, it's reverted to its original physical state. Right? Or it might be that with davar lach, that once it's cooled off, it's no longer edible as something which is hot. And therefore, it's no longer got the halachic status of being mavusha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying that with the ketchup, it doesn't matter once it's cooled off, because it's still as edible when it's cold as anything which is a liquid, which is as when it's hot. So it's almost like taking the Rama to an absolute extreme, you know, where the Rama says, you know, we'll be strict so long as it's not nitztanin legamre. How did we define nitztanin legamre? As where people will no longer, you know, you can't eat it any longer as what it's supposed to be. But hey, you can always eat the ketchup. If that's the case, I wonder what Rav Shlomo Zalman would have said about fruit soup. Because fruit soup, it's cooled off, totally cooled off, but it's perfectly edible as something cold. You know, you've got what do they call it? Guacamole, don't they? Guacamole is some sort of cold tomato soup. Right?
So gazpacho.
That's right. Guacamole is something with... In the yeshivas, they never had... two yeshivas, I'm afraid. Now, anybody who knows the difference needs to spend more time learning. But gazpacho. Gazpacho, that's it. That's, I knew it began with a gimel. That, so the gazpacho, the gazpacho, you can eat it hot, you can eat it cold. That makes no difference. So, you know, Esther, I don't know what Rav Shlomo Zalman would have said about that. Maybe, you know, that's got the, you know, ein bishul achar bishul with such things. And then that links back to, you know, our whole discussion of last week. And therefore, it might be that we'll say that the whole definition of davar lach, I mean, this is radically redefining now the definition of davar lach. Davar lach is something which can no longer be eaten comfortably when it's cold. Because remember, it might be that it, you know, it hasn't changed its physical, reverted to a physical sense, but something which can no longer comfortably be eaten when it's cold, when it's cooled off. And therefore will suggest that even though something might pour totally, it's actually going to have a din of davar yavesh. It'll have the din of a dry solid, right? So your gazpacho or your fruit compote, whatever, could have a din of a dry solid in terms of reheating it, because the reheating doesn't really achieve anything with it. So that's, you know, very radical, possibility there. James?
So
do you think something like custard or jelly, according to this, where you'd say you wouldn't care, or it's hot or cold, it's kind of in the middle, you would say it would also be fine if it didn't catch up?
I have to say that Rav Shlomo Zalman's position, even though Rav Eliashiv said the same thing as well, is too radical for me.
Rav Eliashiv is radical.
That's,
I've been here 5 years and I've heard something from
him. It's just,
I didn't expect to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I can be totally wrong, but it just strikes me as so radical to say that something which is essentially a liquid is going to have a din of davar yavish. I mean, logically, I can see exactly what it's such a big chiddush that I just, you know, I can't be noheg like that myself. That's, I can't be noheg like that. I mean, Rav Moshe, actually, the Maisa with the ketchup, he'll allow you to put it on hot food,
yep.
being sorry, you know, other colours as well, in terms of the notion that you've got the meat, you know, the meat, it's in a cliché, so even though we'll see in due course there's grounds to be choshesh that davar gush, something solid, that's, you know, a lump, you know, retains its heat and therefore has got a bit of a clear rishon. That's a bit of a chiddush as well. So it's mitzari things, but, you know, to take your custard and put it on the blech or on top of the urn to warm up, even though logically, you know, maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman would allow it, and he hasn't said mafurish that he does allow it, but nah, I couldn't bring myself to do it. That's, remind me your name.
Dean.
Right,
do you know what Radio would say about the consistency issue?
No, don't know.
Sorry if this sounds really obvious, but would I be right in assuming you couldn't put knedel balls in a soup as the kirashan? You couldn't put knedels into a kirashan?
Why not?
Oh, hello.
Not if it's on ha'ish. If it's on ha'ish, we've said you can't.
No, on hot plate.
We'll regard that as being. You take your soup pot off the ha'ish, off the hot plate.
And once you've taken it off the ha'ish, then you can put it in.
Then you can put your. Why shouldn't you put your canadles in?
No longer a
clear
rishon.
It is no longer a clear
rishon. So no, it's still a clear rishon, but it's not the clear. Why shouldn't you be able to do it? Davar yavesh, shmuvu shal kol tzorko.
Because you don't eat it like that.
I don't understand your question. Davar yavish. There's no isra bishul ak bishul. The only
they're very squidgy.
We've established a bit of moisture on them. This is the problem. The only problem with the knedlach, could be if you've got your knedlach in the freezer.
No, no.
Right, then you take them out and they're covered with ice.
Yeah.
Right. Now that is water which hasn't already been cooked.
Oh.
Right, that's water which hasn't been cooked.
I knew it'd be
right. That's from the condensation and whatever.
Right.
But if you've got, you made your knedlach on Friday.
Yes.
Right. You. Sorry. No, because it's not mefushal already. The tzipot is. Right, but we're using the tipot. One of the considerations is that the Rambam holds anyhow there's an ein bishul achar bishul. So if you've made your knedlach on Friday, you took them out of the water, you drained them off, you put them in the fridge.
Yeah.
So even if they're a little bit moist, actually they won't be. Yeah. They won't be moist. But even if they were, or you made them Friday night, you didn't put them in the soup because you don't want them to be too fluffy. Right, you want your knedlach, it's a highly gemach locus. Do you want your knedlach to be fluffy or like cannonballs? Okay, it's a mach locus gedoyne. You like them to be like cannonballs. So you haven't put them in the soup, Sicilian soup on all through, you know, Kabbalat Shabbat and everything. You want to put them in the soup just before you serve them at the table, or, you know, when you get home from shul or whatever. To warm through, but not more than that. It wouldn't be a problem at all, even if there's some moisture on them. Okay, that brings that to a conclusion. I'd thought that Efshem, maybe we'd start to move on to Inyan Bishul Achar Afia, but we haven't, so we'll see that next week, Be'ezrat Hashem.
Can I ask one question?
Definitely.
With the... we all use blechs, we all have times. So what